Put it back down. Put it on the TV. Okay. Well, for those of you on the internet and here, we, without Wes Tuttle tonight, kind of get us into a spiritual mood. I guess I could have put on one of his, he has some discs that are made that he played, but he's not going to be able to be with us here tonight. Let's talk about prayer. Thomas is going to go home Friday, and that's just such a wonderful blessing. And so just be in prayer that his body will continue to improve. And Terry told me today that his nearly every one of his blood counts, the red, white, and platelets, are all almost normal. That is unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And so just be in prayer that he continues to get better and just improves and gets healthy. And so just see what happens. She had to have the house completely, the vents cleaned out, the carpets. I told her, I said, boy, my wife would love that. And just everything has to be absolutely clean and just scrubbed and everything about it. And so just be in prayer for Thomas and Rick and Terry as he goes home. And we need to be in prayer for Romeo and Hazel, or excuse me, Lily. Just please be in prayer for Romeo and Lily. They need our prayers. And just be in prayer for both of them. I just love Romeo. He's been with us for over 20 years. And they need our prayers. So let's be in prayer for Romeo and his family. John Haig, the man that had to go in for the cancer treatment in Tucson, is just everything. The chemo treatment's working. It's putting everything dormant again. It's there, but it's dormant. So let's continue to be in prayer for John Haig. And just be in prayer for each other. Be in prayer for our young people. For the youth camp coming up. It's going to be here before we know it. It's just going to boom and wake up. And it'll be that Sunday morning and we're on our way. And so please be in prayer for the young people, for the teachers, for the staff, and for every counselors, everyone that'll be there. So just please be in prayer for that. In prayer for Jerry Leslie as they travel to Minnesota. And so please be in prayer for them. And any other prayer requests I'm not aware of? Okay, let's get to work on the last things Jesus Christ said to the disciples. And I know I've said that now for about a month. And one night we're going to be, well, we'll cover the last thing Jesus Christ said to those poor disciples. Well, Judah was talking about Revelation and then, you know, the 7-year period and all. And I said, well, it took me longer to teach it than it's going to be for it to occur. So, now in my defense, it does cover the millennium, so I'm a little bit off the hook. Okay, well, let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves. Father, we thank you so much for this family. Thank you for each other. Thank you for this assembly, for this meeting place that we have. And, Father, we just pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Let's see. July the 4th was Monday, and I didn't get to harass my good friend. So, Steve, happy birthday. Happy birthday. His birthday was on July the 4th. And, you know, I looked to see who else was born on July the 4th, and I forgot. Who? Huh? Ben, yeah, my goodness. So we got two. Yeah. Oh, wow. Man, does he still think all the firecrackers are for him? Oh, that's cool. They're popping all those firecrackers for your birthday. Oh, wow. They don't even know me. Okay, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Gospel of John, chapter 16. And we are now ready to look at the closing words of Jesus Christ to the disciples. Verse 33, these things, and I believe it goes all the way back to the upper room, beginning of the upper room, chapter 13, verse 1. These things I have spoken, communicated to you for your advantage, that in me you may have peace. Jesus Christ cares about us having joy, and he cares about us having peace. And the reason you need this peace, in the world you have tribulation. And boy, when you're in tribulation and you don't have peace, it's really, really tough. You will have tribulation. Well, so much for prosperity gospel. And I don't care what the guy down in Houston says. I don't care what all these prosperity people are saying and wealth and all of this type of thing. Jesus Christ said tribulation. He didn't say anything about wealth. He didn't say anything about health. He said you're going to have tribulation. So let's stay with the scriptures. You have tribulation. Now we come to, but take courage. Now we have spent some time on looking at the imperative mood, furthest from reality. This is going to require the filling of the Holy Spirit. But let's take a look now at courage. You know, it's really interesting how much God cares, and God and Jesus Christ being God, about our going through tribulation. In other words, in Romans chapter 5, that you have perseverance. Here you have courage. There's just different words that are given to us on how we're to handle when things going on in tribulation in our life. And people, I believe it's getting worse from our study Sunday morning and dealing with the formation of this country and the way our politicians thought at that time compared to today. And tribulation is just going to keep mounting and going to have your priorities straight. So let's talk about take courage. And what is courage? And what's going on with this exhortation from Jesus Christ? Point one. There are several concepts to be noted under this last command by Jesus Christ. The biblical word courage entails a number of concepts. It involves fortitude, bravery, resolve. In other words, it's kind of like you think things are rough now, they're going to start really getting rough. But you're going to have courage. You're going to have tribulation. And you go back and you look, just for a moment, look back at chapter 16, verse 2. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is serving me. And this is going to happen more and more. It's happened throughout church history. I think it's going to happen more and more. About the opposition to Judaism, the opposition to Christianity. And down in Houston right now, they're fighting this big battle. The director of the VA cemetery put out a paper saying that none of the military personnel could mention the name Jesus or God in prayer or in their talk. And they're having they had a big riot on it Monday. And it's, I don't know how it's going to be resolved. But people, you got to understand, let's just say that it works out and they're military. This is what's coming. Just because we're able to wipe it out there and end it there, it's coming. The opposition to Jesus Christ, the opposition to God, and courage and fortitude and bravery and resolve. Perseverance really goes with this because perseverance kind of carries the idea of over a long period of time, you're going to have courage and fortitude and bravery and resolve. And resolve comes from knowing why you're doing it. Resolve comes from knowing and understanding the truth of the Word of God. Point two. Now, bravery lies in the blood. That is, bravery lies in the physical temperament. Courage lies in the head, in the brain, in the mind, in the soul. Bravery lies in the blood. We hear of acts of bravery throughout military history, and they're very wonderful. and the soldier who jumps and puts himself on the grenade and dies so that the rest of the men do not die. And these kinds of things. So bravery lies in the physical temperament. Yes. Just by taking a look and a study at the difference between brave like they'll walk into the firing machine gun. And whereas courage covers through a lot of different stands. You have to have the courage to take the stand. You have to have the courage to make this decision and to stick with it and over a period of time. So just distinguishing between the two words of bravery and courage. Well, okay, what I'm just saying is, bravery, I see it needs to be done right now, and I do it. That's the bravery. Courage, all right, I know what's going to happen if I do this. I think this thing through, and I know what's going to happen, and I know what is happening. I'm going to be kicked out of the synagogue. I'm going to be killed, and if I do this, and Peter, when he was put before the Romans in Acts, he said, you can do with me whatever you want. But I'm going to say the name Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it. So that's courage. Okay. Good. No. Sometimes you don't even think. Sometimes bravery, just don't even think. They're just brave. Boom. They go do it. Courage, you're doing it, but you're thinking your way through and you have a ground for doing it. Okay? Courage comes out of reason. The heart of courage is the strength of mind. The heart of the courage is the strength of mind. Therefore, this command by Jesus Christ is a command to garrison their minds, their souls, in the Word of God, in what He's been teaching. Don't forget the very first thing He just said. These things I have spoken to you. So what He's saying is, garrison your mind with these things. Garrison your mind with all the teaching that I've done on prayer, on the Holy Spirit, on how the world hates you, on glorifying the Father, all these things, and take courage in the midst of the conflict. So there, the command by Jesus Christ is a command to garrison their minds and their souls in the Word of God, thinking the things that Jesus Christ has taught them, thinking biblical truth, thinking Bible doctrine. This takes a period of time. First of all, you have to be growing in the Word of God. You have to develop your ability to think under pressure. You have to develop your ability to think this thing through. Courage in history is, just a quick example. Before the Iron Curtain broke down, Christians would meet in Russia. Tonight they would meet at back of this farmer's barn. And then three or four nights later, would be meet in the woods. And knowing that every time you meet, you could get caught. Take the World War II in Germany. And people that hid Jews and hid Americans and hid people. You know you're going to get caught. If you get caught, you're in trouble. Do you have the courage to do that? Got to think your way through. What am I doing? This takes courage. And you've got to know and think your way through all of these things. And all the things that are going to happen to Christians throughout the church age, you're going to have courage. And in order to have courage, you got to have this doctrine in the soul. Point three. Bravery is more often instinctive. Courage comes from the thoughts, the thought process. You think things through. And you have the courage to make that stand. You have the courage to make that decision. And so often through church history, there have been those who have made that stand and courage, and those that have thought about it and backed off. They're still saved, but they backed off. So the courage comes from the thought process of the person. I understand what's going on. I understand that if I do this for Jesus Christ, I may die. I also understand that if I die, I will be face to face with the Lord. So, you go through this whole thought process. Point four. The believer is courageous in proportion to his thought process of the plan of God. The believer is courageous in proportion to his thought process of the plan of God, while a person can be brave with little to no thought. Just jump on the grenade, charge the machine gun. I tell you, it never made the big time, but one of my favorite wartime movies is a movie that Steve McQueen starred in. It's called Hell is for Heroes. And he was just a loner, and he would just as well shoot one of his own men, one of his men that was new green, a green drumted, meaning a brand new recruit to the front line, and he jumped into the foxhole, but he had his rifle pointed right at Steve McQueen. And Steve McQueen took his rifle and said, "You want to shoot first? You want me to shoot first?" And but the thing is that as the movie progressed, it came down to where they were being pinned down. And so there was the machine gun line right up there. And so he just had enough. He didn't think his way through. He just had enough. He jumped up, made his way, and got and killed the machine gun and got killed in the process. It's bravery. And I like bravery. Don't get me wrong. But courage is a whole nother issue. I like to, Judith and I just saw the movie Soul Surfer. I don't know if you have or haven't seen it. It's a great movie. I highly recommend this movie. And but it's a true story, based on a true story of this girl that got her arm bitten off by a shark, and she was a surfer, and so she went through all of the recovery of just having that trauma. And then it came down to what is she going to do with her life and all this. And her dad kind of wanted her to get back to surfing. And, you know, just with one arm and all of this. And just, it was a movie of her courage. Just every step was her courage. She got up on the board and would fall. First, she couldn't even get up on the board. So her dad made her a handle. And just so many things happened. And the movie is just about courage. And they talk about Jesus Christ in the movie. I think the family were believers. And so it just was a really wonderful movie on courage. The courage to go on with your life. The courage. Sometimes people get beat down in life and they don't have the courage to just get up and go. It may be their failure in sin. It may be business. It may be something like that happened to this young girl. But do you have the courage just to get up and keep going? And I'll use the word we're seeing on Sunday morning. We'll put both these studies together. Perseverance. In the midst of all these things. But there's a difference what's going on with courage, I think, in what the Lord is saying here. And the reason he's relating it to that, he's just taught them this truth. You have the courage to stand on the things that I just taught you. Point five. Let's look at courage and resolve. Because courage includes resolve. Courage is from the power of the mind to meet evil, to meet opposition to the plan of God. The believer is courageous as he is resolved to be a witness for Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a witness. See, that's Peter. I'm going to be a witness. Now, if you want to kill me now, kill me now. We should look at the Acts passage. But he just said, I've got to mention his name. If that offends you, I'm sorry. And so the believer is courageous as he is resolved, I'm going to be a witness for Christ. And the fortitude to endure the pain of being that witness. I wish I had right now Whitaker Chambers' quote on being a witness and being a true witness. You're not paying attention to whatever the consequences are. You're not involved with the consequences of that witness. You just, this is what I've got to do. And so this pain may be physical, like torture, being deprived of basic needs, or this pain may be a soulish outcast of society. As Christ said in verse 2, they're going to kick you out of the synagogue. Then they'll kill you. So there are just so many things that the fortitude and the endurance that I'm going to be a witness for Christ are part of. Judith and I watched a series entitled Against All Odds about the Jewish history really beginning in the beginning of the 20th century and pre-World War I, and then, of course, 1948. And there were just so many different people who showed great courage over a period of time. One lady, I forgot her name, but she was, because of circumstances, made aware of a lot of plans that the Syrians, Syria, had to bomb and take out the Jews, and she was able to get that information to the Jewish commanders. Well, they finally caught up to her, took her in, and I mean, they just tortured her and kept on torching, and she would not give in. She was just, this is, and she had children at home, little children. But she had to weigh out the things that she had to do. Esther. Yes, like Esther. Yeah. Yeah. At that time. And, but it was the courage. So, the against the pain can be physical, the pain can be soulish. So, fortitude is included in the word of Jesus Christ, take courage. Point six. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Do you have the rest of that quote? Okay. All right. And but he just—it's just a tremendous thing. And what he's talking about himself—that he had the privilege of being a witness and bear all the consequences of it. Okay. Point six. The command to have. The command is to have the courage to be a witness for Christ, regardless of the consequences. And I just, and people, you don't just do this. You got to have that exposure to the truth, and then you've got to have that commitment to I'm a witness of Jesus Christ. It's what we are here for, people. We're a witness of Christ. That's it. And we can talk about glorifying the Lord, growing in Bible doctrine, spiritual love, all these things. But they all come under one principle. We're here to witness for Christ. That's what we're here to do, to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So the command to take courage is to be a witness for Christ regardless of the consequences. Regardless of the pain, be it physical or soulish. And I'm afraid that in America, we tend to back off in our society today rather than take that stand. That's why we're where we are, because so few have taken the stand. And I'm always happy when I see it being taken, but I don't know if it's too late. Point seven. Courage is what is needed to encounter all the resentment of Jesus Christ. That's why Christ says this command. To me, I spent a long time just thinking and working at it from different ways. Why have all the things that Christ would say at the very end? Take courage. Take courage. Say, I've taught you all these things, so that's the foundation. Take courage. And to me, this is just so powerful in regard to what's going on. Courage is what is needed to encounter all the resentment of Jesus Christ, all the hatred of Jesus Christ, all the obstacles put up against Jesus Christ. And resolve takes courage, and resolve, the resolve of courage, is that part of courage that will not yield to these difficulties. Just not going to give in. I know if I die, it's gain. I'm going to be with the Lord. You have to have courage to witness for Christ. You have to have courage to witness for Christ when the antagonism against Christ increases. See, it's not been rough in America. It's not been rough for a long time. In fact, since the founding of this nation, up until maybe the last 10 years, it hasn't been that rough. But it's getting rough. For our children in school, public schools, it's getting rough to be a witness for Christ. Like, just for an example, let's say they say to chaplains, you can no longer mention the name of Jesus. You can no longer mention the name of God. And so what would you do if you're a chaplain? If you do it, you're going to get a dishonorable discharge. You lose all your benefits, all these things. Or do you just stay in and go ahead and do that, not mention it? So these are the things that our society is putting the pressure on. I'll tell you right now, I could not be a teacher in public school. I couldn't do it because I would be mentioning Jesus Christ in science class. I would be mentioning Jesus Christ in literature. I would be mentioning Jesus Christ in history class. I'd be mentioning him in whatever class I taught. And so it's just it's just getting worse and worse. So it's just going to come down. Do you have the courage? Some people would say that's stupid. That's stupid to get up and say Jesus in the prayer when you know you're going to get a dishonorable discharge. That's stupid. No, that's courage. That's courage. To flaunt it, no. But where you would normally say in Jesus Christ's name, that's just, if you're going to pay for that, it's courage. So you have to have courage to witness for Christ. You have to have resolve to stay with that witnessing and not give in. That's the perseverance that we'll be looking at Sunday morning in Romans 5. Point 8. This is very much like another time when history was changing. Remember when history was changing from the age of Israel to the church age? Moses was departing, and another was coming into command for him and to take over the land. So you had, and I want to relate this to church, but here's Moses, and he's gotten them out of slavery of Egypt, and now it's time to go in and take the land, to actually go into battle. So Moses didn't have to go into battle. He walked across the Red Sea and walked across the Red Sea, and God killed everybody that followed him. He didn't have to lead his great army. So a new commander was coming in play, Joshua. Look with me at Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why is it said to Joshua? He's getting ready to go into battle. He's going to have to go into battle. And he's going to go into battle with a bunch of bums. But he's getting ready to lead them into battle. Now, why not? Why not tremble and why not be dismayed? Why not be dismayed? Why be strong and courageous? Look at the end of verse 9. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Those are the grounds of the courage. Now we move from Israel, from the age of Israel, to the church age. Look at the grounds of taking courage. Look with me at John 16 now. Look at John 16. We have the grounds for Jesus Christ giving this imperative of take courage. Take courage. Look what it says now. I have overcome the world. What is he saying? The game's already been decided. Now, it may not be like that during various periods of church history, during various periods of believers' lives. It may not seem like it's over, but it's already been decided. Christ is going to win. He has already won. So, I'm just being courageous based on what's already been done. Point 9. The source of courage. One, subpoint one. Where does this courage come from? Take courage. Remember in our study, we spent a very good time on the imperative mood. Furthest removed from reality. It gives no idea of possibility or probability. So where does this courage come from? From the flesh? No. Let's find out where it comes from. Point one, courage comes from the work of the Lord. I have overcome the world. That's where it comes from. It comes from the work of the Lord. I have overcome the world. Two, since courage comes from the mind, thinking, spiritual courage that Jesus Christ is talking about here is from thinking biblical truth in the soul, from Bible doctrine. I have spoken these things, verse 33, these truths. So right here in this one verse, we have two sources of their courage. The doctrine that he's already given them, and secondly, that he has already overcome the world. Three, courage comes from the Holy Spirit. Courage comes from the Holy Spirit. You can look at Micah 3:8, the Lord sending the Holy Spirit, chapters 13 through 16 of John. Okay, let's take a look now at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. People are always quoting, I will never leave you. Well, let's see what it actually says. Hebrews 13, 5. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Jesus Christ here, in teaching about the Holy Spirit, that He may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit may be with us forever. That's how He's not going to desert us. That's how He's not going to leave us. You always have the Holy Spirit with you. He's inside of you. Whether or not you take advantage of Him is entirely up to you. But He is there. We should take peace and courage from knowing that the third member of the Godhead is inside of us, permanently indwells us. That He will never leave us, never forsake us, never get out of us. He can't. We always have the availability of His power, of His strength inside of us. Greater is He in you than he that is in the world. So courage comes from the Holy Spirit. He's right there, giving us this strength. Four. Since courage comes from thinking, spiritual courage comes from being completely occupied with Jesus Christ. That He has already defeated Satan at the cross. He has already overcome the world. He has already given victory over sin. And He's going to come again and rule on this earth. These are the thoughts that you have. This thing is already over. This thing has already been won. So we have the courage to witness for Christ. Five, we have courage, for we know that we have already won. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and if you're taking notes, verses 2 through 4 is what we're going to look at. 1 John chapter 4, and let's read together verses 2 through 4. But this you know, by this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. You've already overcome the Antichrist, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, talking about the Holy Spirit. So people, we've already won. Jesus Christ has already won. We've already have victory over the Antichrist. We don't need to fear them. I have a book in my library, and it's an interesting book. It talks about how Christians are always looking for the Antichrist, always talking about the Antichrist, always fearful of the Antichrist. And a lot of what he has to say has got some good points. People don't have to worry about the Antichrist. We don't have to worry about the Antichrist of the tribulational period, the Antichrist that exists throughout all church history. We don't have to worry. He's already overcome them. Subpoint 6. The Lord does not shield us from the conflict. He does not shield us from the hatred of the world. Going to have tribulation. The world hates you. You're going to have tribulation. There's no prosperity gospel here with Jesus Christ. He lays it out straight. You're going to have a lot of trouble. But he has given us everything necessary to overcome the world. He's given us the Holy Spirit in us, the Word of God outside of us that we take inside of us when we study the Word of God, powered by the Holy Spirit. So he's given us everything necessary to overcome the world, persevere through all trials, through all tribulations in this life. So when the Lord beckons us, take courage. It means to stay in the power of the Holy Spirit. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the will of God. Courage of mind to meet all challenges in witnessing for Christ. Fortitude to endure the pain that we suffer in witnessing for Christ. Because you're going to deal with suffering, people. That's what tribulation's about. You're going to deal with tribulation, suffering, hurt. You're going to have the fortitude. You've got to have the fortitude to endure the pain of witnessing for Christ. The ability to exalt in tribulation. To exalt. I have been given this opportunity to witness for Christ. And that's why this tribulation has come. The privilege to suffer for Jesus Christ. The spirit to advance in warfare. Not to retreat. Or to recede from either walking in the Spirit or growing in the Word. Not to yield to tribulation that comes our way. Remember that courage is in the mind and includes fortitude and resolution. Resolve, bravery. We cannot do this in the flesh. We cannot do this in the energy of the flesh. It can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's look back now at John 16, 33. About ready to close this up now. Take courage. Now the Lord adds why they can take courage. And I love the last words of Jesus Christ before he goes into his prayer and then arrest and trials and crucifixion. The way to take courage is by faith in the Holy Spirit. The why to take courage is because I have overcome the world. Now, the great historical phrase that we should never forget, no matter what kind of tribulation you have, I've overcome the world. I've already overcome this. I've already been through it. I've overcome it. Just got to remember. And it's tough to do. I think an important point in our study of tribulations was we are not prone to identify or associate our tribulations with Jesus Christ, yet we're beckoned to do so in the Bible. We're told by Peter, you should do this. We should be able to realize we are in a spiritual warfare, people. You know, it's one thing you're in an actual army or war, and the guy firing bullets at you, you know what? I could get killed here. I think I'll keep my pot back on my head. They're going to kill me. But people in the spiritual warfare, sometimes we're just not really aware that what's going on. Putting it in simpler terms, you know, you walk into class and you say, get out your blue book, it's exam. Okay, you know it. But boy, we don't have that in life. You don't get up this morning or that morning and have the phone ring or a voice say, this is a blue book day, get ready, you're going to get a test. Ah, test. No, it just hits you. The phone rings. The disaster hits you. There's no warning of a blue book test in the spiritual realm. This is the way it is. And so we've got to be constantly aware of the suffering of Christ. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ is about to enter into severe sufferings. You know, it doesn't really look like he's overcome the world, does it? He's being arrested, beaten, mocked, going through 6 trials, all these things happening. Sir, what do you mean you've already overcome? Looks like to me you're losing. And that's the way it's going to look in our life often. It's going to look like we're losing. To the world, it'll look like we're losing. And you may think it looks that way. But he's already overcome the world. Don't give in to it. Take courage. Take courage. He's already been victorious over the ruler of the world. Not bound him yet. He's still loose and running things, ruling, causing havoc. But he's already been defeated. I have overcome the world. This is so wonderful. There are two events that are so important to the believer. Two events that are essential to your life. One, the cross and the resurrection. Two, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the rapture. Two events that are important in history. For the unbeliever, the cross and resurrection. For the believer, the revelation of Jesus Christ, seen at the rapture of the church. The fact that he has overcome the world gives us hope, gives us confidence to live moment by moment to witness for him. I don't care how horrible things may be. We have the courage to witness for him. He's already overcome the world. Let's take a look at our passage. I. This is an emphatic pronoun. You can translate this to get the effect of it. I myself. I myself alone. Have overcome. Perfect active indicative of Nakao, to be victorious, prevail, overcome, conquer. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, and let's read together verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, I'm writing to you. See, everything depends on the knowledge of truth, people. That's what's lacking in America today. Churches are no longer, preachers are no longer teaching the Word of God, word by word, verse by verse, where they can understand it, where we can learn these things. They're just not doing it. People don't want it, but pastors aren't doing it either. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. How did they overcome the evil one? By believing in Jesus Christ. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. People, it's already been done. It's already been done. Point one. What is important here is that because of his victory over the world, his followers can be assured of peace. That's why he said, "Peace be with you." Because of his victory over the world, all of us can be assured of eternal peace. 2, because he has overcome the world, we can be assured of being victorious over the world. He has already overcome them. We are in him. We can be assured of being victorious over the world. He can be victorious over the world system. 3, the world is powerful, frightening. But our Savior is more powerful and victorious over the world. People, I think it's frightening. I don't know about you. I think it's frightening that our government can tell teachers they can't mention the name Jesus Christ and talk about Christ in class. I think it's frightening that they can tell personnel you cannot mention the name of Jesus Christ at a funeral of a Christian. I think these things are frightening. I think it's frightening. The more and more and more and more of the areas of spiritual and the freedom that we're supposed to have, is we don't have it. We do not have this freedom. This is frightening how far this can go. How far will it go before the government decides that all children are really of the estate, giving it to the parents, and therefore you are not allowed to teach your children about Jesus Christ? You don't think that's going to happen? Think of where we've come from in just the last 50 years. It's just going to get worse and worse. So, the world is powerful and frightening, but people always remember our Savior is more powerful and victorious over the world. 4, the ruler of this world is powerful, Satan. But our Savior has already defeated him twice, in the prehistoric war and at the cross. So we do not have to fear Satan or his world systems, his organizations, his schemes. Got to be aware of them, but not fearful of them. 5. Take a look at what Jesus Christ overcoming the world means to us. Let's take a look at what it means to us personally. Do not get angry at the world and all it does. Don't get angry. Don't get all upset. Judicial decisions. Decisions in school, decisions in policies. Don't get angry. Just be at peace. I've already overcome the world. Do not allow the world to take you down in despair, in stress, anxiety, depression, sad. Do not give into this world. Do not even compromise with this world. Do not back off and become a coward in this world, for your Savior, your friend, your King has already overcome the world. Do not back off from being a witness of Jesus Christ in this world. We can overcome the world because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. We can overcome the world because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, verse 21. Revelation 3, 21. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This is our privilege. We've already been there. We've already read 1 John 5:4. And now let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans 8, 37. Know in all things, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. people, there's the power of love. There's the power of spiritual love. This is why we are challenged to love one another in the new commandment. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, through Jesus Christ. So the declaration of victory that ends Jesus Christ's words to His disciples and to us, I have overcome the world. Here is the basis of peace. The battle is already won. This is the basis of the new order of worship that is going to occur. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4 verse 23. John 4:23. Jesus talking to the woman at the well. But an hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such a people the Father seeks to be His worshipers. People, this is a new order. It requires brave people. It requires people who are courageous. Okay. Close of chapter 16, in the upper room, the final discourses, spiritual love as we've seen being given, all these things, and how we're not to have stress, anxiety, and all of these things. Note the first thing Jesus Christ says to the men after the death, burial, and resurrection. And after His death, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, look at John chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. Note the first thing Jesus Christ says to them. Chapter 20, verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, fear they'd come in and kill them, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. The last thing He said to them was, I have given you peace. I've said these things that you may have peace. Take courage. I have overcome the world. But the point is, in that verse 33, I've given you peace. First thing He says when He sees them, peace be with you. People, let me just tell you in closing, Jesus Christ loves us. Individually, personally. And one thing He cares about is to have peace and joy. He doesn't want you to be in turmoil in this world. Doesn't want you to be angry, in fear, in stress, anxiety, depression. He wants so much that every one of us enjoy this peace in the midst of tribulation. In the midst of tribulation. That's what's the miracle here. You can be in tribulation and have this peace, this joy. This is what He wants. This is what He desires. He's given us everything necessary for that. Okay, I got a little thing we're going to do next Wednesday night, so we'll just wait to save that. And so let's close in a prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for these closing chapters of life of Christ before the crucifixion. Everything that He said from chapter 13 on is so important and so vital. He was getting ready to be crucified. And out of spiritual love, He cared about us. He cared about what we are going to go through, what's going to happen. He cared enough to teach us these truths. So, Father, I pray now that Your Spirit take the things that we've seen here, cause them to become a reality in our soul and in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.